Blog Talk Radio. Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined us on today. I want to say I acknowledge and want to say a special hello to all of those that are around the world and all of my friends. I just want you to know that I am so glad that you took the time out of your busy schedule to join me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord have made. He will rejoice and be glad therein. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, this is the day that the Lord have made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Again, I'm excited about you, and I'm excited about you have joined me on today, this glorious day. We have a great lesson on today, and our lesson is going to be talking about a revival at Samaria. We're going to look at the word of the Lord on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, you, yes, you, Radio Land, I'm talking to you, you will be blessed, and God is just going to overtake you and bless you. Let's take a look and take a moment to look at our scripture, and I want you to grab your Bible and just come on in and just make yourself right at home. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter number 8, verses number 1 through verse number 12. And once you have it, we're going to read that all together in unison. And so here it is, Acts chapter number 8. Verses 1 through 12, and it reads on this line. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostle. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made levitation over him. As for Paul, he made havoc for the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For unclean spirit, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that was lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simeon, which before times in the same city used sorcery, bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself with great ones, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regarded, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, let's take a look here at this particular passage of scripture on today. The history of Samaria goes all the way back many centuries and refer both to a country and a city by the same name. In the New Testament time, Samaria referred to a region in the middle Philistine and not a city. Samaria, discussed today, is the city of Samaria. Inhabitants of Samaria, called the Samaritans, were a people of mixed lineage that grew out of the Assyrian captivity of the 10th northern tribe around 727 BC. The racial blending of the Jewish and Gentile heritage formulated a nationality that found no real acceptance among either of the two people. The Jews particularly rejected them because Samaritans could not prove their genealogy. The Jews considered Samaritans as dogs and had no relationship or dealings with them. John 4, Jesus said in John 4, he must go through Samaria. Jews normally choose other routes for their journey, even though they were miles out of the way. However, this time there was a special compulsion of the masters to go through this area. A soul was in need of living water. Now, as Jesus was weary and thirsty and came to Jacob's well near Sychar, a city of Samaria, a woman approached the well to draw water. It was an unusual time of the day for a woman to be drawing water, her daily supply of water, but it was the right time for her to find the water that will quench her eternal thirst. Following her conversation with Jesus, the woman ran back into the city of Sychar, telling a man who had told her of her past. The inhabitants of the city came to see the one of whom she had spoke and came to believe on him for themselves. There was a great stir in the city because of the impact of the Christ's presence and message. However, there was a revival yet to come to the Samaritan that would shake the people and bring spiritual power into their lives. So let's take a look here, because there was getting ready to be a transformation that was getting ready to hit Samaria. And God was getting ready to do some great and mighty things in that city. I come to tell you today, child of God, God's getting ready to hit your city and do some great and mighty things in your city, right in your locale, wherever you may be. God is getting ready to do some great things, some great miracles. Now, let's take a further look at this revival that has taken place in Samaria. Acts chapter 1 and 8 reads, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost of the earth." In Acts 1, Jesus declared that those who receive the Holy Ghost will be witnesses unto him both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of earth. Acts 1 and 8. From the beginning, world evangelism was the call and purpose of the apostolic church. However, as the case sometimes is, the disciple was constant to remain content to remain in Jerusalem and to do the work of God there, enjoying the blessings of God at home. However, God intended for this gospel to be spread in all the world, even if unusual methods of motivation had to be incorporated. Now, let's take a look here. Persecution took place in Jerusalem. Great persecution came upon the believers as they declared the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Most noted that the persecutor was one called Saul of Tarsus. He had been well trained in the law and the prophet and contended that any other message was heresy or worthy of death. The seventh chapter of Acts records the persecution of the church at the hand of Saul, especially as he consented to the death of Stephen. As a result of this great persecution, the church scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word Acts 8:4. It has been said that what prophecy could not inspire, what promise could not accomplish, persecution forced. It is unfortunate that it's persecution to move the disciple to take the gospel message to the other land. But it is this, to their credit, as they were scattered by the winds of persecution, they took with them the gospel proclamation. And so, children of God, we must, as never before, keep sharing the gospel and the good news and sharing your testimony about what God is able to do when you give your life unto Him. And talk about the wonderful working power that it is in the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, and in the blood of Jesus, and even at the cross of Calvary. We must, as never before, start sharing the good news as never before. It is our mandate from God Himself. Now let's take a look at Philip goes to Samaria. In Acts chapter 6, it is recorded that the confusion arose over the ministry to the garrison widows to meet the need and to leave time for them to accomplish the work of the ministry. The apostles appointed 7 men as deacons to oversee the distribution of goods and food among the people. They were reputable, honest, and full with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. One of the men appointed to this office was named Philip. Now, let's take a look here. They appointed 7 men, but look at the qualification, that they were reputable men. They was honest. They was filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, I want to encourage you and invite you as child of God, as you moving forward in the things of God, these same qualifications should be honed or manifested in your life, that you should have a reputable character, reputation. Number 2, you should be honest. Number 3, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And these things can be cultivated by going back to God and living a holy and an upright life before God. And God is able to fill every believer with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. And then James let us know that we can ask God to give us wisdom, who give it to us liberally and upbraid it not. All we need to do is ask of God, and God will do it on our behalf. So it's key for us as children of God to strive and to ascertain to a higher level, living honestly, to live a reputable lifestyle, and to live and be with the wisdom of God, the hidden treasures, the hidden wisdoms of God, and to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. These were the men that was appointed to the office, named by Philip. Now, let's take another look here. It is interesting to note that Stephen and another one of the deacons was the first martyrs in the New Testament, while Philip became the first home missionary. Philip went to Samaria with the message of the cross, a message of deliverance and hope for those bound by sinful human nature. Now, we must recognize that it's key to recognize that when an individual repents of their sin and get filled with the Holy Ghost, God is giving them power over that sinful nature, human nature, that it has the propensities to want to sin, to want to go back and do the things that are not holy before God. It is through that dunamis power that will give us power up and over those things when we begin to ask God to keep us, ask God to help us, and to live in that place daily. I met a beautiful mother, and she was saying, she will always say, you know, we asked her how she's doing. She said, oh, I'm asking God to save me some more today. And she was already beautifully saved. But her daily cry was, God, save me some more, because she wanted to be more and more like Jesus. And so we as children of God, daily, God, save me some more. Lord, I want to be ready when you come back. I want to meet you in the air, and I want to be ready. So it's up to us to cry out unto God and to seek God and call upon his name. Now, Philip preaches Christ. Now, so when he went to Samaria, he went there to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Philip took to Samaria the message of the crucified Christ. As Philip preached Jesus Christ to the Samaritan, mighty things happened. In a prophecy of his death, Jesus had declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. Not only did Christ predict in this verse of scripture his death on the cross, but also the principle that when he is lifted up before the world, conviction and the power of salvation draw people to him. In the case of Samaria, as Philip preached, Christ's miracles transpired, and people received salvation. Now, let's take here and look at the great miracles that was transpiring, because Philip had the boldness and the courage to stand up and begin to preach the cross of Calvary and salvation, and people were saved, life was being changed. And we as ministers of God, we must continue on steadfastly preaching the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through verse number 20. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. That's Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. Now, I want to point out here in things that is very, very key, that as they went out, they began to preach and teach about the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Now here, they said they went forth and preached everywhere. Now I want you to get this. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We want God to work with us. We don't want to be working outside God, outside of the realm and the scopes of God. Because you may know how to do church business, but you want to work where God is working with you on a daily basis, because you are daily inquiring and making provision or room for God to come in and have his way. Now, that's when you can see the true miracles, when you take your agenda and move it our way and begin to invite God in and allowing God to have his sovereign way to be done in the life of yours, the program, whatever the matter may be that's set before you, heeding over, giving over, and letting God know that what you want to do and things is allowing God to come back in and have his way. Now, Mark records the prophetic utterance of Jesus, that sign will follow those who believe. Mark 16:17-20. Healings and miracles were among the signs that Jesus mentioned. Just as Christ has promised, and Philip preached Jesus Christ in the city of Samaria, the Samaritan heard and saw miracles. And that's over in Acts chapter 8 and 6. Now, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, recorded that unclean spirits were cast out, and many people who suffered from palsy who were lame were healed. Now, the Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, God's going to confirm with signs following that ministry and that work that he has assigned and given unto the people of God and things. Sometimes it comes after the fact, the residues, or maybe it may happen right in the middle of the service, or maybe even one get filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. But God is going to show himself through signs and wonders that he's with that ministry or he's with that individual as they're representing the Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. And that is very, very key, child of God, because you want God to be with you as you are ministering, and you don't want to minister outside the scopes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ heals the sick. And when miracle of healing occurred, they drew the attention of people to him. Now, the purpose of healing and miracles is never to bring glory or honor to mankind, but to God. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Now, just as though we had seen miracles even this past weekend through our women's conference, these miracles that God was doing, we have to give God all of the glory and the honor, because all the glory and honor goes to him. And then, too, on the other hand, he said, give honor to where honor is due. You can give honor to that individual, but that individual know not to take the glory from God, because God, it was God moving. It was God doing a profound work in and among us, his people of God. And if we can stay in that place as leaders, as apostles, as prophets, as teachers, as workers in the kingdom of God, not robbing him of his glory nor of his honor, God will continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore with his people, with his servant, with the man of God, the woman of God, because you're not robbing him of his glory or his splendor. You're giving that glory and honor back unto him in which it is due. Now, one of the greatest miracles of all is the transformation of a sin-sick soul into a born-again child of God. Now, that is the greatest miracle that the child of God can witness with their eyes. Now, remember the scripture said that greater work shall we do and things. And these greater works that he's talking about is being able to see this here working power of individual who were sick with sin, and their soul was sick with sin, being born again as a child of God right before our eyes. I tell you, child of God, that is one of the most glorious occasions to see an individual get filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power of God. Oh, shalalaboshe. That is the most awesome thing. You can literally look upon the countenance and see the transformation that had taken place, and that transformative power and conversion and regeneration that have taken place in the individual life. And you're talking about a miracle. That is the miracle when you see that taking place in the life of an individual and seeing them moving forward in the things of God with a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God. Oh, child of God. Yes, yes, yes. Now, great joys come. And there was great joy in the city. Now, let's take a look at that. In the society, in a society bound by man-made tradition, foreign to the true purpose of God, came a message of hope and deliverance through Jesus Christ. Philip preached to the Samaritan the message of the cross, a message that brought them deliverance through Jesus Christ. With this message of hope for salvation came great joy, Acts 8:8. No one had ever received the Holy Ghost in Samaria as a guest, but they experienced great joy as they believed God, repentance, and was baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, Luke wrote, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repentance more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Luke 15:7. Oh, the joy that comes as people bow in repentance at the news of the crucified Christ. Repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name bring great joy to the one who repents, to the church. It brings joy to the church, and it brings joy to heaven. So here you have a tri-dimensional realm of joy. The first realm for that individual, the second one for the church, and thirdly for the heaven. And so all heaven and even the church and the individual should be rejoicing. I tell you, when I first got saved, if I can share a testimony, when I first got saved, I remember Bishop P.L. Scott there in St. Louis, Missouri. When the individual got filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, or one went down in the precious name of Jesus, there was rejoicing in Zion. There was rejoicing in the church of God. It's like the church just went up in praise and worship unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because we was rejoicing just like heaven was rejoicing. And I believe that type of joy need to come back to the church of God. That's what I grew on. We got excited about it. We got excited about someone renting and someone giving their life to the Lord. And we need to, as a church body, as the body of Christ. Now, I'm talking to the body of Christ on today. To the body of Christ, we need to, as never before, is to hold fast to the things that God has given us to the body of Christ, in rejoicing when one sinner repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's look. Because they received the message of Christ and obeyed the gospel, the Samaritans were now ready to receive the Holy Ghost, the gift of God that completes a person's salvation experience. Let's take a further look here. A whole city reached. A genuine revival first affects the believers, the church. The revival prepares the church to reach out to others who need to experience the saving power of Jesus Christ. Revival is never intended to be restricted to the local assemblies of believers. It has extended its influence to the total community. God wants to reach the whole world with his message of hope and deliverance. Oh, and deliverance. God wants to reach the whole community and world. Now, let's look at what the Samaritan. It said that the Samaritan believed and responded. Acts 8:6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. Philip's message to the Samaritan was the crucified Christ. Now look at his message. when he declared Christ to the people, they believed and obeyed the command of water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Though the message of the cross was new to them, and though it conflicted with their previous belief and tradition, they still responded to the anointed preaching of Philip. Tradition cannot stand in the way of real revealed truth. Truth shall triumph. The message of Christ and the cross declared by Philip brought an immediate change in the attitude and conduct of the people of Samaria. There are good traditions and there are bad traditions, but any tradition can enslave people if they are not open to the word of God. Only God's word can bring true freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. When Philip declared the gospel of Christ in Samaria, the people received the word of God and forsook their unbiblical tradition and religion. Now, great things happened. And great changes occurred at the preaching of Jesus Christ and the cross. Miracles happened in the lives of people as they witnessed the power of God in Philip's ministry to them. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. And you can also see 1 Corinthians 1:18. Now, let's take a look here. The preaching of the cross brings conviction, contrition, and confession, and it leads a person to change a lifestyle, to a change of lifestyle. Now, let's take a look here. Now, it will cause that conviction. And like the contrition is the contrite heart. And then the confession, the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, and that they are a sinner and in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times people don't want to recognize that they are a sinner and that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a sinner and I needed Jesus. I could not do this thing of my own. I needed the power of God unto salvation to bring deliverance to my own sin sick soul. And I tell you, once that happened, and once I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, my life literally have not been the same. I tell you, it has been awesome, glorious, glorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, and I wouldn't trade nothing for it. The Samaritans were baptized and filled with the Spirit. Let's take a little further look here. When Philip preached the message of Christ to the people of Samaria, they were convicted of their sin, the contrition of their heart and spirit led them to confess their sinful state, repent of their sins, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 8:16 states, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles sent Peter and John to the Samaritan after they had heard that the Samaritan had received the word of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When they arrived, they surveyed what had already transpired and recognized that these people were ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Peter and John laid their hands on the believers in Samaria. They received, here it is, the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Remember, their heart was ready. The message had came. They obeyed the gospel. Now they was ready to receive the earnest of their salvation, which was the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just as Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost, and just as the Jews had received on the day, that day, the Samaritan also received the Spirit. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, similar events occurred at Caesarea in the house of Cornelius and in Ephesus with the disciples of John the Baptist. And you'll see that over in Acts chapter 19. In each of these instances, which we will study in depth later on, the apostle came from Jerusalem to minister to them. Since God has given Apostle Peter the keys to the kingdom of God, it was needful for him to be present for the initial outpouring of God's Spirit upon the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans. He opened the door of salvation to each of these groups, and in each instance, they received the Spirit with signs of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So each group had an initial experience with God. Not one stopped short of the full experience of the Bible salvation. We must never be content to stop short of God's full plan of salvation. Now, it's okay for one person to get filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost first, but that's not the completion. They must get baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sin. It's vital, it's key that their sins be remitted and be baptized, and then they're being engrafted into the body of Christ. That's key, child of God. You must have clear understanding about that, that being engrafted and put into, baptized into the body of Christ is very, very key. Only a faith experience of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and receiving of the Holy Ghost will bring us into the new birth experience according to the word of the living God. Simeon the sorcerer believed also. Among these affected by the preaching of the cross, the infilling of the Holy Ghost was a man named Simeon. He was had welled a great influence in the city as he used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was one, some great one. Acts 8 and 9. The people of Samaria gave heed to what he declared, even to the point of stating, "This man is the great power of God," Acts 8 and 10. As Philip preached and the Samaritan believed, Simeon also came to believe and was baptized. When he saw the apostle laying hands on the people who then received the Holy Ghost, he desired to have the gift of laying on of hands for the people to receive the Holy Ghost. Thinking that he could purchase this gift, he offered money to the apostle, saying, "Give me also this power." The apostle rebuked Simeon at once and declared that the gift of God is not for sale. Peter pronounced judgment upon Simeon and admonished him to repent of his wickedness and to pray to God for forgiveness. The message of Calvary and the power of Pentecost is for everyone. The experience brought to the Samaritan through the apostle is still real and available today to whosoever will. There are none too high, none too low, none too good, none too bad, none too rich, none too poor to be outside the need or availability of the Holy Ghost. It is for us, our children, our grandchildren, and our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, all people, no matter how distant from Jerusalem they may be. They need it. See Acts chapter number 2, verse 39. And that reads on this line: "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2, chapter number 39, verse 39. Now, let's look here at my final thought for today. Joy and deliverance always accompany revival. Revival is the restoration of what should have been all the time. It is renewal, a reviving of the joy and the power of the Lord. Along with joy and the power of God that comes in revival is deliverance from bondage to sin, the power of Satan. There is no secret to real revival. Revival by the Spirit of God is available to all, to whosoever will. It comes by preaching Jesus Christ and the cross. Through the preaching of the cross, the Samaritan saw both the Lord and themselves, and they turned from their idolatry. When they turned to Christ, they found deliverance from their sin, deliverance from their spiritual bondage, and power of the indwelling Holy Ghost. What a joy that gripped the city of Samaria as the inhabitants continued to experience the joy of the city and to share the message of Christ with the villages around their country. And, oh, child of God, as never before, we as the people of God, we must begin as never before to share the message and to share with others about the power of the cross of Calvary and about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We must share. Now, in conclusion, never has there been a time in history when genuine revival is needed more than our days is now. Revival that shakes communities, cities, states, nations, and the entire world. There have been great moves of God across the centuries and around the world. But what a prime day for revival in our generation. What a need for people to experience a return to God as never before. Now, the key of revival was present in the story of Philip and the revival in Samaria. Philip preached Christ, number one. Number two, the Samaria believed the message. Number three, the power of the Holy Ghost was poured out. Wherever the gospel is preached, it works. God will conform his word with signs and following and wonders that follow. As we proclaim the word of God, it is for fullness and power. The God of the word will revive his church and will draw the lost to salvation. Let us go forth with desire, faith, and commitment as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in our cities. Now, as we started out, we taught that there was a blessing coming to your city. You are the bearer of that blessing. Share your faith. Ask God to send revival. Ask God to send the message of the cross back into the house of God and the death, burial, and the resurrection back into the house of God, that the revival can break out. Don't you know, child God? God is soon to come. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, he is soon to come. The handwriting is on the wall. The Bible let us know he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And child of God, this is our time as never before to prepare ourselves as the bride of Christ. He's coming back for his bride, for his church. And we must be ready. We must be found looking and waiting because our redemption is drawing nigh. We just seconds closer. We one day closer. We 1 hour closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ye path straight. Jesus is on his way back, child of God. God told me to share it every time I get a chance. He shared with me something to share with the people, and I want to share it with you in my closing. He told me that we grew up in the Midwest area where there was a lot of tornadoes that was going on. It was in a dream. The Spirit of the Lord came to me and began to deal with my heart and began to say, I want you to warn the people. I want to use your voice to warn the people. Everywhere you go, warn them. Tell them I said to get in the house and stay. Well, when I was growing up in the Midwest, they used to have tornado drill all the time because of the weather and in that particular region of the country. And so I remember as a child the tornado drills, some of the thunderstorms, the electrical storms that we would have, and how in the middle of the day it would be like midnight, and how that when that thunderstorm come rolling in and the tornadoes come through the city, the funnel clouds, we was mandated to get into the basement and to wait there until the storm passed over, because anything outside could have been caught into the devastation of the storm. And so God said, Helen, and he used that same analogy when he came to me, like when my mother would come to the back door and call all of the children by their name when the storm was rolling in and calling them to get in the house. God said, Helen, I want you to tell my people to get in the house. The storm is on the horizon. And so I come to share with you, children of God, it's time. If you've fallen by the wayside, get up, get back in the house of God. If you're discouraged, cast off that discouragement. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you've afflicted in your body, the Bible said that he sent his word to heal them. Call for the elders of the church to lay hands upon you that you may be healed. Ah, shalotobo, shekanda, ba, 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 ba. The Bible said that he's given us everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. Hear me, child of God, people of God, as never before. We as people, God, we got to get close to God. We don't know the day nor the hour that the Son of Man comes. But what we want to do is be found close to him, hidden in the pavilion, doing the work and the will of the Lord. Yes, living as though he's not coming, but living as though he's soon, he may return even that moment or that hour. We must live in that readiness as never before and still yet go on about our lives. And doing the things that we need to. But every day, Lord, if you come today, Father, I want to be ready. God, if you come to meet us in the cloud today, Father, I want to be found watching or listening and hearing your voice, constantly in a ready state with God as never before. So if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have not been filled up with the Holy Ghost, I want to encourage you, go read the book of Acts. I want you to encourage you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him as your personal Savior. Baptized in the name of Jesus and filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And God will do the rest in your life because he is soon to come without a church, for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I want to say I thank God for this moment and time to have been with you on today. But I do have, we have about 11 minutes that is left on today, and I want to take this time to allow any callers that have, or anyone that's in the radio line, if you want to call in or share your testimony, perhaps of what God has done for you, just a moment, maybe take a couple of callers on today for you to share your testimony and things about what God has done in your life. And if you want, you can call in now and let me know, and we'll share your testimony live on air. Amen. If not, we want to recognize that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore, and he wants to bless his people. He wants to do such a phenomenal thing in and through the lives of his people. This is the best of time to allow God to flow through your life. And God is not going to do it without your permission. And what we have to do as children of God is to give God permission to be great in our life and give God permission to flow in and through our lives as never before. And once you begin to give God that permission and yield over to God, taking that moment to stop and acknowledging God, God is going to do a great and a mighty work in and through your life. He will bless you, and he will open every door that God is able to do. Thank you, Jesus. And so we don't have any callers that have called in. So what we're going to do, we're just going to go ahead, and I'm just going to read this one little thing in your hearing, and then we're going to go ahead and close for today. We thank God because of his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Let's take a look here. It says, a well-known poet, Rudre Kinland, said, if you keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies or being hated, don't give up ways to hate, to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your masters, if you can think and not make your thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you're spoken, twisted by knives to make a trap for you fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can feel the unforgiving minute with 30 seconds worth of distant run, your earth, yours is the earth and everything that there is in, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. So here he's talking about the contrast of the things and the vicissitudes of life. If you can hold fast and not succumb to the lie, hold fast and not lose your sense of who you are when people are blaming you. If you can continue to hold fast when you, with kings, still you be humble and still can be touched by the common things, then you can become that man or that woman that God is calling you to be. So don't get caught up, in essence, in the vicissitudes of life and or in the things that's coming up against you, but keep looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember, child God, in my closing, you don't have it. God got it. And you are just one prayer away from your miracle, one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. And as I will always say, if you throw in your towel, child of God, you go get it. And you start all over again. Sometimes you have to get up from that mess. Get up from that doubt. Get up from that disappointment. Get up from that letdown. And go back down on your knees and calling on the mighty name of Jesus. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Child of God, I pray that you've been blessed as we talked about the revival at Samaria. I pray that a revival will hit your city and hit your state and your country, and that you will be tremendously blessed by the divine, miraculous power of God. That God will move in and through your life as never before. So be encouraged. Claim your family. Claim your household. All for the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer. Don't you dare come down, and don't you dare give up. God have a blessing that's coming to you today. Just hold fast and hold on. God will do it, because God got it, and you just one prayer away from your miracle. Go back and ask God, and he'll do it on your behalf. God bless you. Bye-bye.